I wish to read to you today from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, and we'll be reading verses 2 through 10. With God's word open before us, let us bow our heads in prayer. God Almighty, we thank you and we praise you for this moment, this moment in time in which we can be still, be with you in your presence. We thank you, God, that you speak to us in many different ways, but most specifically through your word. And as we open your word and read from it today, I pray that your word will come alive, that your word will penetrate our hearts and our lives, that your word will change us. And Father, if there's anything that might prevent us from being willing or open to receive your word today, I pray that your spirit will change that in our lives. Make us humble and eager to hear from you. We pray that in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 10, the words of Paul. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I'm weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord. Have you ever prayed for something? And God said, no. I'm going to give you a description of someone and see if you can identify her, okay? She was born, or she was not born, in India, but she spent most of her adult life there. She worked as a Christian missionary among the poor. She founded a religious order for women to assist with her work in helping people in need. She became highly regarded for her selfless dedication to others. In fact, although she was unmarried and had no children, she was often referred to as mother. She lived into her 80s and died in India in the 20th century. Now, if you think you know this person, great, but here is one more hint. She was not Roman Catholic. Does anybody know what her name was? Most of you were probably ready to say Mother Teresa, right? Which would not be a bad guess, because Mother Teresa does fits all those facts that I just shared with you, except that she was Roman Catholic. So this woman predates Mother Teresa by a few decades, and her name is Amy Carmichael. She was sent as a missionary to India by the Church of England. Mother Teresa died at 87, the age of 87, in 1997. Amy Carmichael died at the age of 83 in 1951. Much of Mother Teresa's work was with the dying. Much of Carmichael's work was with helping women and girls caught in human trafficking. And so I just want to share some of her story with you today. Because Amy was born in Ireland in 1867. Her mom had the most beautiful blue eyes. And as a little girl, Amy thought so too. She just loved her mother's blue eyes, except her own eyes were brown. Her mother had told her that God always hears and answers prayers. So while she was still quite small, Amy prayed one night that God would change her brown eyes to blue. And then she went to bed quite confident that God would do as she asked. When she woke up the next morning, she went straight to a mirror to see her new blue eyes, only to be disappointed because her eyes were still brown. I'll tell you a little bit more about her eyes in a few moments, but first a little bit more about Amy's life. When she was 19, her family traveled to England to attend a spiritual conference, and the purpose of the conference was the promotion of holiness, or what people called the higher Christian life. And it was there that Amy responded to God's call, and eventually she offered her services to the Church of England. In 1895, she was commissioned to the church, or by the Church of England, to go as a missionary to Donavur, India. And here she served for the next 56 years without a break or any vacation. And a major part of her work there was devoted to rescuing babies and children from situations of extreme danger. The rescue work included girls who had been sent to the local temples to serve as prostitutes. And she eventually started the Donavur Fellowship, which became a place of safety for children. In 1960, needing help with the work, she formed a religious order called the Sisters of the Common Life. And through Amy's work and that of her sisters in Christ, more than 1,000 children were rescued from neglect and abuse. And there probably would have been many more, except that in 1931, a serious accident reduced Amy's mobility, and it forced her to spend much of her time confined to the Donavur Fellowship's compound. And even then, however, she wrote a number of spiritually helpful books. And the Donavur Fellowship, by the way, continues yet today as a home and community for children in South India. And Amy had requested that when she died, no stone be placed at her grave. So instead, the children she had cared for put a bird bath over it with the single inscription, Amma. It means mother in the Tamil language. So let me get back to, you know, to Amy's brown eyes. That morning when she awoke to find that her eyes had not changed color despite her prayer, she ran to her mother to complain. And it took Mrs. Carmichael several minutes of careful explanation before Amy understood that no was an answer to prayer too. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says not yet. And sometimes God says no. She said, Amy, God meant for you to have brown eyes for a reason. And maybe you will never know what the reason is, but meanwhile, her mom said, brown eyes are perfectly lovely. Amy wasn't so sure, because smiling Irish blue would always be a favorite color, even if God said no. And I'll come back to Amy's brown eyes one more time, but I want us to think just for a moment about this matter of praying for things we want. Do you pray? I mean, prayer is something we do as Christians, right? We do it because Jesus said we should, and because the Bible tells us to. But I'm sure we all know, and as the story about Amy's eyes reminds us, that sometimes the answer to our prayers is no. The Apostle Paul found that out too. In our scripture passage for today, he says, three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Take what away? Paul had some physical ailment he suffered from, and we're not sure what it is, but he called it a thorn in his flesh. He says, three times I begged the Lord to make the suffering go away, but it did not happen. He says, God's answer to my prayer was no. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. God said, my grace is really all you need. My power works best in weakness. God promised him grace. But what Paul asked for was not granted. In spite of his persistence, the answer was no. He prayed three times, and it was not like he prayed on Monday and then again on Friday and then again the next week. It was more like three separate periods in his life, times in his life when he made his physical condition a matter of urgent prayer. And as the suffering became so great, he asked the Lord to take this particular cup from him. So think about it. We're talking about Paul. Next to Jesus, probably the greatest Christian who ever lived. The guy who wrote most of the New Testament of the Bible. If anyone was worthy of this request, it was Paul. He had already suffered for the Lord. He had been persecuted for the Lord and for his church. So you'd think the Heavenly Father would take what he had already suffered into account and grant Paul his request. Or the fact that taking the chronic pain away would have improved his ability to do his ministry. You'd think so, right? But no. What made sense to Paul was foolishness in the eyes of the Lord. And God said, no, not going to take this away from you, Paul. My power is strongest when you are weak. End of story. And then there's Jesus. If Jesus doesn't get a prayer answered, then how can we demand that God answer all of our prayers with a yes? In the Garden of Gethsemane, remember, on the night of his arrest, Jesus prays and he says, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me, yet I want your will be done, not mine. He says, if there's any other way, Father, please, I don't want to go to the cross. And we know that that request was not granted either. Here's the interesting part. Neither Paul nor Jesus said, well, because my prayer was rejected, because God said no, I'm going to stop praying. Because you see, in spite of denying some of our prayer requests, prayer remains a vital exercise of the spiritual life. But the purpose of prayer is not to persuade God to do something that God has no intention of doing simply because we want it. So what then do we do with, you know, some of the passages in the Bible that when you read them on the surface level may give us a different impression? Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, was talking about prayer and he said, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who seeks, finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. I mean, when you look at it on the surface, you kind of get the idea that the wording here is a guarantee, right? Follow these instructions faithfully and you will get the desired results. At first glance, the words seem to promise that we can receive anything if we just pray with enough intensity and persistence. Yet that's not what the New Testament teaches. As the examples from Paul and Jesus just showed us. So if Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount are not a guarantee that faithful praying will get us what we ask for, what do they mean? Like most verses we read in the Bible, the meaning becomes clearer if we read them in context. And in the Sermon on the Mount so far, when Jesus says this, Jesus had already asked his hearers to live righteously. He has told them to let go of anger, to avoid retaliation, to sidestep lust, to love their enemies, to forgive those who hurt them, and not to be anxious about the future. Well, if you'd been in the audience that day, what would have been going through your mind? Maybe something like, well, Jesus, I mean, that's very nice, but how am I going to do all these things? I can't even forgive my neighbor for making too much noise, so how am I going to love my enemy? And then there's anger and lust. I don't want those things, but they just overtake me when I'm not expecting them. You might as well ask me to give up eating or breathing. And Jesus, it seems, anticipated those questions. And so we have his comments about prayer. And he says to them, you just need to ask God. Ask God for the ability to live righteously. Ask God to help you love your neighbor and forgive those who hurt you, and so on. Pray to God about those things, because your prayers will affect all those qualities in your life. In other words, Jesus tells them that the answer to prayer for ourselves most often comes in the form of, are you ready for this? Not yes or no, but in the form of spiritual graces in our lives. Not in material treasures or in God changing the course of events or giving us all that we want, but his grace that His grace in our lives will become more real and deeper. To say this another way, Jesus called His listeners to change upward. He told them really to step up their game, to take their spiritual lives to a new level. How? By asking God to help them. By asking God in prayer. And so one very important purpose of prayer is to help those who are praying to change upward, not downward, towards materialism or selfish wants or what culture demands or what I think God should do, but praying upward for change, strength and grace to conform to God's standards, not the world's standards, praying for God's help to become more like His Son, Jesus Christ, and the example He gave us. The more we pray, the closer we come to the heartbeat of God. And sometimes we pray for something. God says no. And we don't get what we ask for in prayer. Remember Amy's prayer for blue eyes. Amy's mother told her that God must have a reason for giving her brown eyes. And that's something we say to our kids quite often, right? God must have a reason. Maybe you're thinking, well, that sounds like the sort of explanation a mom might give to a small child to help deal with disappointment. Let's jump ahead several years in Amy's story. Amy has arrived in India. And before long, she's learned about the young girls being used as prostitutes in the temples. And even some Christians were against Amy when she stepped into the struggle to end the service required of little girls. They thought she exaggerated the situation. Indeed, the truth of what went on behind the scenes was so hard to get at that Amy found she must pretend to be an Indian and visit the temples herself. Dressed in a sari with skin tainted, she could pass as a Hindu. And then she understood why God had given her brown eyes, because blue eyes would have been a dead giveaway. Her naturally brown eyes completed the disguise and enabled her to do the incredible work she did in helping those girls. You see, sometimes if we are patient, we may learn why God says no to some of our prayer requests. Or we may not. But we should always pray, even if the answer is no. Because we need prayer so that we can change upward and become better Christians. So we can move up to a higher spiritual ground. Often what we ask for is too low. We seek blue eyes. But God gives us compassion. We seek healing, but God gives us grace. We seek escape from sorrow. But God gives us eternal life. We seek material possessions, but God gives us a spiritual family. It is higher ground. It is heaven's tableland. It is changing upward. It is moving skyward. And that's why the answer to some of our prayers is no. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, we all confess today that our prayers are often so low. We only see ourselves or our immediate wants and needs, and we don't see the bigger picture. Help us to be changed upward. Help us to pray for those things that bring us closer to your heartbeat. Help us to always pray, God, because you tell us to ask and to seek. But help us understand that not everything we ask for will be given. That the answer to our prayers are often no, because you know better. Help us to realize that your grace is sufficient regardless of what we encounter or what we go through. May your grace become ever deeper and more solid in our lives. And we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus. Amen.